If you'd like to follow it in the Pew Bible, you'll find it on page 1192. Paul's letter to the Colossians, commencing at verse 15, finishing at verse 23. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard, and it has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This is the word of the Lord.
I don't know what you were doing on Wednesday evening. I had quite a full-on evening and got in quite late. One of our boys, Andrew, had been playing cricket. Surprise, surprise. I'd been involved in the Growing Leaders introductory evening over at Stoke Gifford and followed that up with a quick cooling pint with a potential course member afterwards. And then I landed at home just as the news and weather was coming to an end. And I was feeling a little bit dozy and dozed through the programme that followed. The rather intriguingly named Wheelers, Dealers and Dell Boys. Hands up if you watched Wheelers, Dealers and Dell Boys. One, admitting. Two, three. Well, you're going to find out a little bit more about Wheelers, Dealers and Dell Boys in these next few minutes. Because it followed three independent market traders in South London who were trying to make their millions. And we followed them as they trawled around various auction rooms hoping to snap up a bargain which they could sell on for a vast profit. And so one of these traders bid for and won a diamond-encrusted cross. Very nice. I think she paid about £600 for it in a bidding war. And she felt that she could probably make at least £400 profit on that one item. Another person bid for a large black suitcase full of knick-knacks unclaimed from airport lost property. She was able to sell it on for a grand total of £16. Another chap bought a Japanese painting, believing it to be a valuable original worth thousands of pounds. And all three of these traders were searching for fulfillment through material gain, expressing hope and optimism and a way out of the day-to-day drudgery. But the closing credits on this program betrayed their shattered dreams, as these words appeared on screen. Tony has already sold the diamond cross. She made a profit of £30. An auction room mix-up meant the suitcase wasn't actually sold, and the Japanese print is under Richie and Nikki's bed. Asked to sum up his life, the aforementioned Richie said this. These are his precise words. One day, it was in a South London drawl, but I can't quite do that one. So one day I'm going to go in and I'm going to get a diamond in the rough out of a box of crap and I'll find something worth a lot of money in there. That's what I'm hoping. That's what my dream is. Find something magical. And it all brought to mind to me that U2 classic, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Shattered dreams, hopes unfulfilled, ambition thwarted. And we can search in all sorts of places for hope and meaning, can't we? Maybe we do search for some sense of hope and meaning through material things. Maybe it's in particular relationships. Maybe we find some sense of purpose and meaning in doing good things, in serving other people. Maybe we indulge in escapist activities. But do these things actually fulfill? And the Apostle Paul would say, and I agree with him, you're looking in all the wrong places. We need to look in another direction, to the hope and the meaning that is found in Jesus alone. And that reading that Ken's just brought to us is one of the great poetic pieces of the New Testament. As Paul redirects the Colossian believers' attention to Jesus, saying, it's in him that all things hold together. And so he looks back. He highlights Jesus' role in creation itself, working in partnership with the Father and the Spirit in bringing life into being. What an incredible claim that is. He sets Jesus above anyone else who's ever lived. He goes on to reflect on Jesus' role in reconciling people to God through his death on the cross and his resurrection to new life. And then he encourages the Colossian believers to keep going with Jesus as their inspiration and their motivation. And in fact, he sums up the heart of the whole gospel message in a quick 1, 2, 3. Well, actually, in your Bibles, it's a quick 21, 22, 23 in those verses. In verse 21, he says, once you were alienated from God. He reminds his readers of their past, living their own way, living for themselves rather than God, therefore cutting themselves off from him. But verse 22, now things are different. Now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. In other words, you've been given a second chance. Because of Christ's death, you can know his forgiveness and freedom. The very heart of the gospel message. And verse 23, there's a link to encourage the Colossians to continue in their faith, reminding them not to just rest on their laurels, not just to sit back, but to continue to work out what salvation means in their situations. It's an incredible message, and it's a passage we'd all do well to reflect on. As we go through our lives seeking meaning in lots of different ways, we can search as hard as we like, and we might make the odd 30 quid on the way. But true meaning is found, surely, as we look to Jesus, who brings that something magical that Richie in the programme was really in need of. In our service today, there's been a lot going on. With Henry and his baptism, our prayer for him is that he might discover Jesus for himself as he grows up and find the purpose and new life that Jesus brings for himself. It's been great to have the children with us from Chernobyl. And our prayer for them too is that they'll be renewed in their physical strength and health through this visit, but also that they'll have the knowledge of being loved by God. And that's true for the people of southwestern Uganda too, as the team work with them in the weeks ahead. And not surprisingly, it's also a prayer for every one of us here, that we might know the hope and the meaning and purpose that comes through knowing Christ. So where do we find our purpose and hope in our lives? And if we say Christ is our hope, do we actually live as if that's true, day by day? I want to finish with the words of a great hymn by Robert Murray McChain, who wrote this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Let's make Jesus that firm foundation in our lives as we go on through this week and in the weeks and months ahead. Amen. And now we're going to continue in prayer, and Peter's going to come and lead us in our prayers of intercession. So let's just be still for a few moments as Peter makes his way to the front and just reflect on the priority of Jesus in our own lives.